Start recording.
Recording in progress.
I need to remember to do those backwards. I actually had a bad situation yesterday on Anime Versal Reviews, which will be out today for Classroom of the Elite Season 1. I forgot to record in OBS for like the first 9 minutes of the show, but thankfully I had the Zoom backup, so I was able to kind of hodgepodge it together and post and make it look halfway decent. So I was happy with that. Happy Fourth of July. Happy Independence Day. All that good stuff, man. Did most of your community celebrate last night, or is there going to be still a lot of stuff tonight?
All weekend. Actually, since Friday, actually, some places started on Friday. But the town I live in Madera, last Friday, the company who was supposed to be doing the fireworks lost their license.
Ooh.
So our town, who hadn't had a fireworks show in 4 years, will not have
still
a fireworks show.
Still not getting one.
But damn, this time, because the fireworks provider got shut down by fire marshals.
Jeez,
you believe that?
That's rough, man. Anyways, guys, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and the YouTube channel, sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit later in the episode. Part of the big LRMonline.com family. Make sure you head over there every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Whatever app you're listening to us on, please do follow, so that way you don't miss this show or any of the other great ones. And if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you so much. Please do hit the red subscribe button and check out all the great content we have here, including trailer reactions amongst all the podcasts. I'm Kyle Malone at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. That's Manny Gomez at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter. And it's Monday, Independence Day, which means millions and millions of Americans and any good person that's got decent taste in movies will be watching Independence Day today. We might talk about that a little bit later, but it's Monday, and that means it's time to look at some box office numbers. And Manny actually was super stoked. He's like, "Oh my God, I can't wait for Monday box office talk. I got numbers right." He was like foaming at the mouth and shit. It's crazy. What's up, Manny? What do you want to talk about?
I mean, this is just my favorite topic of the week, usually, that we cover, especially right now, because if you don't remember us doing this in the fall, it was like, "Oh, do you think this means that it's gonna die? Like, do you think that it's ever gonna get any better than this?" And so to see the last 2 weeks, in particular, well, the last few weeks more than anything, but like last week was a very I think important week, because we had four movies over $20 million, regardless if they were week one, week two, week three.
Right.
And then Lightyear, of course, dragged along with 18. And so, you know, so we talked about it last week, that there's a variety in movies. And so everybody has something to go out to watch. So it's such a good sign for theaters who, for a second, you and I were even pondering if they were going to die. Of course, we never thought that would actually happen, but you know, things would have to change, which they have. But this week, Minions: Rise of Gru, $108 million, and currently on pace to surpass the Transformers movies from a few years ago for the 4th of July weekend. I think it's estimated to make 128. I had those numbers and I lost them.
No, I got it up on thenumbers.com, their projection chart. Yeah.
100, it's sorry. On pace, 127. Yeah. So maybe 128. They're going to possibly pass the Transformers. Well, they will very easily if they make anywhere over 116. Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, which was garbage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather watch Minions 100 times than watch that movie. That one was terrible. But yeah,
which one, Bumblebee or the last one before
Dark Side
that?
Of the Moon?
Oh, see, that was better than Revenge of the Fallen. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, but it was better than that. Anyways.
Yeah, so and then look at it. Top Gun, still number two, still strong. Yep. 25.5 million. And then you know,
Elvis dropped out of 105 theaters at that too, man. 6 weekends in release, 3800 theaters. Damn.
Yeah. Elvis is still doing all right. It only had a 39% drop and 19 million. Jurassic World still holding on, 15. And so you kind of, I think you have, you're going to have, you already have Top Gun, which crossed over a million. Jurassic World is over 800 million. I'm sorry, did I say Top Gun? 1 billion.
You meant a billion.
Billion, yeah. And just shout out to the Black Phone for hanging in there. 48 million overall for a horror flick. Not too bad. The dud, man, is Lightyear. I can't.
I know.
I don't, like... Man, like I knew that I felt very strongly about it. I didn't realize that that was going to be a... And then it doesn't help that Tim Allen came out last week and was like, yeah, it has nothing to do with my toy. As in Buzz Lightyear, the toy that he portrays. So I thought that was very interesting and telling of this is how everybody feels. No, to say it harshly, no one cares about Buzz Lightyear, the man. We care about Buzz Lightyear, the toy. So, I mean, just in one weekend, Minions did better than it has, I think. Yeah, overall.
I did hear one thing on the news, and the numbers is not as easy to work with as old Box Office Mojo used to be, but this is the first animated movie opening over 100 million since 2019, since before the pandemic. It's one of those genres, I don't, not really genre, styles, there's the word I'm looking for, one of those movie styles, it's animation, that a lot of studios have just been sending their crap to streaming, you know, or they don't push it a lot in the press and advertising, because, you know, they're trying to save money, because kids weren't going to theaters. Adults weren't taking their kids to theaters. Now they are. I mean, 108 million for Minions is, yeah, man, it's impressive given the tracking of animated films in the last two years. It's what Disney had hoped Lightyear would do. They were probably hoping for it to, you know, open up to over 100 million easily. And here it is now, just barely having crossed 100 million over its third weekend in release. I'm super stoked about people going to theaters. Things are changing. There's more and more premium, like, hey, come to our theater for this, whether it's like a theater cafe to, or cinema cafe here in my area to have dinner and a movie, or it's premium experiences on large screens, 4D, the X whatever thing with the projectors on the sides. All of these things are little gimmicks in the way that 3D was, but they're not. Except for the cinema cafe, that actually takes something out of the experience for me. But most of them are just about making you more comfortable, giving you more immersion versus 3D, which was distracting. You know, the lenses darkened everything, the frame rates had to be just right, and if it wasn't filmed for 3D, it never really felt as good. But the fact that you have Minions doing so well, to me, tells me that people are still willing for a regular traditional seat, popcorn and soda, because no one goes and pays for big premium experiences for these types of movies in general. I know some places do, but in general, these make money in the traditional theaters, you know, and that's good, because guys, traditional theaters provide jobs. You know, if everything's just a premium experience, there's only so many screens. Damn cat. only so many screens that can fit all of those things, and that's less show time, less seats. So yeah, if you want your theater to stick around, you still need those traditional screening rooms to do well.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about the Minions film, we went to the theater yesterday to watch it, is that like our room was not only, it was packed, it was the RPX room. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was people of all ages there to enjoy them. There was a couple of there was a group of older people, and you know, I think probably in their 60s, no kids, just
there,
and it just enjoying the heck out of the movie. It's funny, you would think that. It's like, oh, it's a Minions film. It's not gonna do that well because they're kind of almost like they're the almost like the mascots now of Illumination and everything yeah. they do. And they've also been used for like the RPA the THX teasers and things of that nature. But look, they're very simple animations, and they're killing it at the box office. That to me was kind of pretty amazing, and it just makes me happy to see that Disney's probably wrong for some of the releases that they have that are going straight to the streaming services.
Yeah,
and I think one of the movies I feel very strongly about that is the one that is Apex, which will be out in August,
mm-hmm.
the Predator film. I feel, or is it Prey? Sorry, it's Prey.
Prey.
Yeah. yeah. I feel very strongly about the fact that I won't be able to enjoy that in theaters, for example. And then I think either Turning Red or there was another one. There's another animated one also.
Luca. They sent Luca to streaming.
Yes. So you know, you're... It's I don't understand the lack of confidence in some of these movies, or just it's not how much you feel strongly that Disney Plus and Hulu needs them, that you're now kind of almost robbing people of also that theater experience. And I don't know, I think that Turning Red would have done better than Lightyear in theaters.
Possibly. I still haven't seen it. You've got a daughter. Yes. So the way I understood this movie, Turning Red, it looked cute and fun in the trailers. We just never got around to it. By the time we did, I had already heard that it's a very, very specific audience. It's not as general audiences of a kid movie. It's very much, you know, relates to females and their mm-hmm. experience, which yes. is fine. I'm not knocking it whatsoever, but that meant without a bigger, you know, net to catch a general audience, that I wouldn't necessarily be as engaged. So I told Christine, when you see it, if it seems good, if you think I would enjoy it, let me know, because we love animated movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen that one. Maybe it would have. I think the people that were upset about it, you know, catering to females, were, you know, why be upset? It's okay if it caters to them, but it's also okay for those that were like, how dare you not be super enthusiastic about this movie catering to females, you male, like, it's not meant for me. How could I hype something that I'm not interested? It's not meant for, you know what I'm saying? So both, like, get over the fact that something was made for females, but also get over the fact that people that aren't going through menstrual cycles weren't really super
interested. That's a very, and for these types of people in general, it's a very naive approach to some films. And it's also what I hate about people in general, especially on social media, that because something isn't for you, it doesn't mean it isn't good.
Right.
And it could, because different audiences do need different films.
Oh yeah,
it's just like, you know what, this wasn't for me, but it was still very well done. I can see how so and so would very much enjoy it.
And yeah, absolutely. People
are so quickly to start to try to bash things, and it's just more important to support the art form and everything, and not everything. And you know, there's just some people who need to realize that, and this isn't in general, not just in movies, and not everything is for them.
Yeah.
And your way of life is not being attacked just because not everything isn't being catered to you.
And it's okay to not like something because it's not for you.
Yep.
You as well. Both are fine. Accept it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ready to take a word from our sponsors and come back and talk about some Marvel stuff. So you ready for that?
Yeah, that's fine.
GrowGen talk.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right, thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode as usual. Manny, we got some Marvel news, some like images put out that all appear to be legit. I got a couple of pieces from the direct I'm trying to bring up for you guys. Our first looks at Namor. I always grew up saying Namor. I know some saying Namor, but anyways, from Wakanda Forever is where we're expecting to see him at, and we've got some first images. You've seen these, right, Manny? We shared them on Discord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys should check out our Discord, a link in the box down below. So we've had rumors. I don't know if Feige or anyone ever officially came out and talked about the South Central American influence that this character would have, or inspiration from this character would have, versus traditional like Greek Mediterranean Atlantis type stuff. What do you think, man? What do you think about what Marvel's attempting to do here, both aesthetically and just the character being brought into the MCU in general?
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I don't know the first thing about Namor.
He's asshole, a bit rapey, and has it hot for the Invisible Woman, Sue Storm.
Cool, so let's make that guy the Latino then, right?
I don't think he's gonna be quite that in the movie. I hope not.
No, I definitely not in Disney. It's kind of a joke.
Yeah,
the issue I have with it is I don't really know the character, so mm-hmm. I don't really care. Adding Central American influences to it is great because they're not really a hero that you can say has been around for a long time that you can do that with anyway. So taking Namor and kind of, you know, mixing in some of, maybe even some of the traditional wear, as we saw in the image, that kind of makes it look a little maybe even like Aztec or Inca. Mm-hmm.
Are borrowing an Aztecan deity. I forget mm-hmm. the name of it. And the character Atuma, a villain in Namor's world, is also heavily Aztec, and there's obviously some Mayan influences in
Mayans. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, so that's.
I was going to say, did you see the Atuma images?
Not the Atuma ones.
Here, I'll share it with you real quick. Oh,
here it is.
Here you go. Oh, you found it. Okay, then I'll stop sharing.
Yes, I did. So, yeah. See, that's cool because we're not gonna get that anywhere, and I mean that we as Latinos, we're not going to get that anywhere else right now. We're going to have like a Blue Beetle character and things like that, and America Chavez was a great step, but as far as something that's rooted in our traditions, like remember how I said how excited I was in the past about how like for African American culture, from African cultures, like that you have like Black Panther, you have like mm-hmm. Shang-Chi for Chinese cultures and everything, and obviously for you white people you have Captain America.
just God. Kidding. My Captain America is black right now, damn it.
Sam was is great.
I love Sam.
But yeah, this is going to be the closest we're going to get to having our Aztec heritage, our Mayan heritage on the big screen for now, so I guess I'll have to take it.
I have to ask this, being that guy. One thing that is for certain is that Hispanic, Latin American, specifically Latin American, to blend in both the Spanish and Portuguese heritage, as well as the native and mixing and all that that happened in South and Central America. So while there are plenty of heroes out there, you mentioned America Chavez, even though she's an alien, they've built her up as Hispanic. Everything about her is that you've got Miles Morales, you've got what was the female ghost writer? I was kind of hoping they would use her when they reboot Ghost Rider, because she has like that history Alejandra with Adam, like the biblical Adam. What's that?
Alejandra Jones.
There you go, Alejandra. But the point being is, you've got all of these, other than Miles. Miles, I think, is probably one of the biggest names in that side of Marvel with Hispanic and Latin American heroes. But there's, other than him, like who's the headliner? Who is the Black Panther? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up the whole point of like when they do race switching and stuff like that. And this is an imaginary world within our own world, let alone an imaginary world in a comic book. You know what I'm saying? So them switching it up is what it is. Namor was going to look kind of goofy no matter whether he was Greek and Mediterranean or using this. But when you can just so easily take something, this is me playing devil's advocate, and Hollywood just slap a new layer of, you know, different layer of aesthetic over it, doesn't that still keep the heroes, the minority heroes, from coming from, you know, B, C list status to A list status? Like, where is the major, where's the Hispanic, Latina fucking Black Panther? Where is that? And can we get there when Hollywood seems so ready to just I don't want to use paint, but, you know, redo it, you know, change it up.
It's, well, the thing is, it haven't been written yet.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It's only in the last few years, really, that I've been seeing a lot of them are my friends too, comic book writers that are Latinos who are very, very passionate about, you know, writing some of these characters, writing some new characters and creating that for us, because and the representation of comics hasn't necessarily been there. So I think we're getting there, but it's not quite there. I mean, it's just, whether it was for lack of opportunity or you know, that we don't have them yet. And so I would hope that we do soon. But for now, I'm happy to see us start to, you know, peek in behind the curtain a little bit more and a little bit more. And I can't complain about it too much, because it's not like I have like you were saying, a character to go to. It's like, yeah, why haven't we made a movie about this person? Because it's just not there. So to take Namor and kind of package him that way, it's like, well, you know, it's an Atlantean, and Atlantean is really
made up.
It's really, you can believe in Atlantis fine or not, but it's up to interpretation. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's going to mess with the character as far as
the actual interface. Atlantis has been in and near Antarctica, as far as like alleged places, as far, you know, down in the ocean, you know, south as around Antarctica. It's been in the Mediterranean. It's been in the mid Atlantic, out, you know, like towards Iceland and crap like that. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere between like Iceland and Britain. Anyways, the point being is it's made up. I have to wonder, you know, does the, like we both said, you know, there is no Hispanic or Latin American Black Panther right now for them to give a tentpole movie. The closest that I can think of in Marvel off the top of my head being Miles. Well, he's got the Spider-Man name. So no matter what, that's they know they've got a gold mine there. We don't know why they haven't used him yet, but they've got a gold mine built in there from just that alone with Spider-Man being so prominent in pop culture, but let alone Miles Morales has been one of the best off and on. There's been good and bad stories, but for a while he was the best Spider-Man book there was. Like, I knew lots of people that were reading Miles Morales Spider-Man over Amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. But if we don't actually pump those up, man, if Hollywood keeps taking some of these easy way out, and I know if you've got characters to use, great, but if you don't have them, then God, man, then Marvel needs to be working on, hey, where's our What is that thing called at all of the like conventions where they allow the artists and people to bring in their work and stuff? It's like, it's time for some new heroes that aren't going to just be a random mutant in the X-Men every now and then, because we get plenty of representation of everything in the X-Men, but there's so many of them and none of them, you know, none of the like leads have really changed over time, and it's a tough, frustrating situation.
It's tough, man, because I feel like Marvel, there's a couple past few years that they were changing characters just for that clout and not necessarily for the betterment of a character or a storyline. It got really annoying because it would mess up certain continuities from the past, or it just wouldn't make sense, or it just felt like they were just trying to please people instead of actually making the character better. They did that by changing, you know, some people's sexual orientation, sometimes gender, sometimes regardless of the reason or what they changed it to, it just felt like they were doing it
pandering,
yeah,
you could say it,
pandering.
And that was my concern.
Instead of actually making a new character, exactly. a perfect example of it, them doing it well, and this was DC doing it well, was Jessica Cruz, and how she was introduced very slowly to the Green Lanterns, and it was kind of a simmer until she was elevated to her own book, and now just really a mainstay in the Green Lantern Corps. To the same level as a Guy Gardner, as a Kyle Rayner, et cetera, et cetera. That was very well done because they just mixed in her heritage with some of her anxiety issues and things like that. And it's a new character that I believe will be featured in whatever Green Lantern project they're working on now, if they're even working on it anymore now with Discovery taking over and doing a bunch of stuff. But point is, like, but that character is now canon. And is ready and available to be used. Heck, she's been featured already in like DC Superhero Girls, and a couple of others. Oh, and then just the world of animated films that they do for Warner Brothers, DC. So that's a good way of putting, like, yeah, that's a character done right.
Yeah.
And then I won't necessarily mention some of the ones I think were done wrong, because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like because the thing is, you know, as a kid, the whole point of comics and the whole point of these superheroes is to be able to feel seen and to be able to you know, just be able to see yourself in some of these characters. And if you only see a certain type of race or a certain type of person in general, it's hard to maybe relate with the comic and really feel like it's doing what a comic's, you know, the purpose. You know, you're not that little kid thinking that you're Billy Batson or something. It's different.
Yeah. You and I have had this conversation on this show before. It's very similar to when they start redoing fairy tales and myths, legends, stories, and they're constantly using Grimm, Mother Goose, you know, Western European type stuff. Your Snow Whites, your Sleeping Beauties, your Beauty and the Beast. And something you and I have both pointed out is every culture has their own myths, legends and fairy tales. You know, they're all throughout the indigenous groups in South and Central America. They're all that were adapted by a lot of the Spanish and Portuguese colonizers there. And there's a whole new thing that's been created out of the two mixtures for you know, hundreds of years. You've got the same thing in Africa and in Asia. And every time that they just decide to redo Cinderella with a you know, X spin on it, you're neglecting all of those other stories that I personally would love to watch, would love to see, would love to hear. I, you know me, I've got a very, very broad taste for all entertainment, from music and movies to TV shows. My wife and I consume a lot of entertainment, and man, I feel more bound by Hollywood and the studios than I do by my own tastes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm open to see the horror movies from around the world, just like I am for the comedies, for the fantasies. You know why? And you don't have to Hollywood it. You don't have to put the North American U.S. spin on everything. You can literally just take a Mayan or Aztec an Australian Aboriginal story, and as long as you've got the proper care for the source and permission from people to share, because I know there's some groups of people out there that their stories are for them, they're not meant to be shared. So as long as you're crossing your I's and dotting your T's the way you're supposed to, yeah,
and that gives
tell those stories,
and that gives the opportunity for, you know, a diverse group of directors and producers, writers to come in, and
actors, actresses, and to do that. Yeah,
I mean,
the whole nine.
Look at I'd say Mayans MC is a good example of that, because the creator of it was actually one of the co-creators of it was actually the guy who did Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember his name by the top of my head. Kurt Sutter, sorry. And he did. I think he worked in the first two seasons of it. And maybe it was the first three, but no, the first two. Maybe even just the first season. But at the end of the season, he stepped down because he said, "This is not my story to tell," and left it up to the hands of Elgin James, which I thought was a very noble thing to do, because he could have been like, "Hey, screw you guys, this is my show," like, we're, you know,
yeah,
but he decided, "This is not my story to tell," and left it to Elgin James and the rest of the Latin group that were working on it, and they have nothing bad to say about Kurt, but after he left, everyone felt so much better and more comfortable with now working together and what they wanted to do, as far as, "This is our story of what we think it should, what we think it should be." So I think that's important. So
yeah,
it's nice to see. But yeah, I don't need to watch Cinderella again with a different, you know, it's like, because if you think about it, I grew up in a school district that was very, as far as diverse, as far as storytelling. So I know a bunch of you know, African stories, Asian stories, and Latin stories growing up, obviously, that are just rich in
yeah,
well, characters and stories, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there's so much you can pull from. You don't always have to go back to the same basic stories now, because that's what they are. They're basic, really. Yeah. And so it's hopefully something that'll change with more and more talent mixing in Hollywood, more diverse talent mixing in Hollywood. We see now what Jordan Peele's doing, for example, with horror, and his kind of storytelling. That's a great example. And so let's have more of that, but let's have more opportunities for different directors. And I think it would be, it'd be great. Just not to say there's anything wrong with some, because, like, you think about it, a lot of the stuff that's being released, especially in theaters, is reboots and it's
sequels. Reboots and sequels, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well. I mentioned Independence Day at the beginning of the show. And I do sincerely hope everyone has a good, safe Independence Day. If you haven't blown off your hand already, please make sure you still don't. I love that movie, though. And we that do watch great. It every year. It holds up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It freaking holds up, man. Every aspect of it, except for, of course, some of the CGI and the dog fights and stuff. And, you know, after Top Gun Maverick, you can definitely, you know, wish for better, even though the second Independence Day was awful. Man, did you watch that first movie in theaters when you were a kid, or
I did
what's
not.
Been your experience with it?
I did not.
When did that you see it then?
I think we rented it. It was one of the first times I saw it, and it was I saw that before I had ever seen a movie like Alien or anything like that. So it was really my first big exposure to that kind of like creature type of thing, if nice. I remember correctly. But it was just a great adventure. Obviously Will Smith was a big deal, and it was, I remember just being in love with Jeff Goldblum's character, because it's fun. And
David, yeah.
And of course we all, you know, the late Bill Pullman's amazing speech, of course, that he gives. He passed away, didn't he?
No, Bill Paxton passed
away. Oh, Paxton, sorry. That's what I'm confusing him with. I already want to kill the poor guy.
I was like, Bill Pullman's not dead, right?
No, he's not. He's not. He's alive.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys feel like checking on him today? Today's a great day to do that.
Yeah.
The speech was awesome right before they go off into space. So
go do the air fight. Yeah. I love it. It was a movie my whole family had seen in theaters together, which was rare. I only have a few memories of those, like Independence Day and Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a blast. It holds up incredibly well. If you only could take one of Will Smith's either Men in Black or Independence Day with you on the journey to Mars, to colonize Mars, you've been decided to help select the film library, and you can only take one Will Smith alien, Men in Black or Independence Day.
I'm taking Men in Black.
That's good, because I'm going to take Independence Day. I love Men in Black, but man, Independence Day is such a freaking treat, and plus I got that like sentimental, you know,
I just have way more. In general, for the franchise, I have way more value with Men in Black. I mean, I used to love the cartoon.
I don't like any of the others. I just like the first one.
I really like the cartoon. The worms were always such a fun thing. I used to have the worms as figures. and then the song is obviously timeless.
Yeah.
And some of the movies haven't been the greatest, but they're still, you know, they're fun. They're kind of, they're
three was
super campy, really.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Frank the Pug was fun. And just in general, his just the banter between Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith was just one of some of the best.
Oh, it's
fun stuff.
Classic, man. Mm-hmm. It's classic. I mean, in all honesty, you know, I think Wild Wild West was hurt because of Men in Black and Independence Day being so great. And doing so well between Smith and Goldblum, Smith and Jones, that Smith and Klein?
Yeah. Kevin Klein.
Smith and Klein, just, it wasn't awful, it wasn't as good. But yeah, I love it. You guys let us know what you think about Independence Day down in the comments. Tell us what you're doing for your 4th of July celebrations. If you are, you know, partaking in that freedom to not, you know, down with the government or whatever you're screaming about for right now. Do it peacefully and safely, and we're all good, guys. Please do check out LRMonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. There's interviews that go up from the LRM YouTube channel, and so you can subscribe to that as well. Reviews and stuff on comics, news pieces, things on leaks, and our opinions on these things, reviews, the whole nine, all of our great All of our great podcasts are available there and wherever you get podcasts from. We've got Breaking Geek Radio. They do a little bit of everything, including movie reviews every week, movie or show reviews every week. The Daily Cup of Genre, you're watching that. The Cantina does Star Wars news. Unless we have something to review, then we're doing that. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem is the exact same. And Animeversal reviews, looking for Classroom of the Elite later on today, as well as Season 2 of Classroom of the Elite going forward until Chainsaw Man. And then hopefully we can juggle both. I also put all those up on our YouTube channel. You've got the Genre Shot trailer reactions to check out as well. I just did Mushoku Tensei Season 2. Great anime. Can't recommend it enough. Please hit the red subscribe button. Manny, got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I'm going to leave you with a thought. Plug your social media or anything? For another day.
Sure, what's the thought?
Do you think Disney is relying too heavily on Marvel and Star Wars for their content?
Yes, 100%.
Because I was looking through, and this is a topic for another day, but I'm just giving you the reason. So looking through films that they've released in theaters versus films that's released on Disney Plus and the quality versus the two. I feel like, especially the animation studio and everybody, and with Lightyear really kind of almost phoning it in, seemingly, mm-hmm. I feel like they're getting lazy. And it's just like, oh yeah, we just need to put another superhero movie.
The audience are getting lazy. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
topic for another day.
Yeah. So
maybe tomorrow. Oh, not tomorrow, because Manny won't be here. I'll have Shockey, I believe. But Wednesday, Manny, mm-hmm. keep that thought in mind.
The world usually changes within 24 hours, so we'll probably have a new topic. Yeah, all if you're guys. Celebrating the 4th today, just make sure that you're using fireworks safely. Make sure you're checking on those barbecues. And believe it or not, the top, you know, when it comes to when it comes to burns on the 4th of July, I've found out that besides fireworks, the top two culprits are barbecues and hot pavement. So that's a very interesting thing to keep in mind, because that's not where you think you'd be getting burned.
Yeah.
And regardless of how you feel, just know that you have a right to feel that way. Yeah. And just be respectful of others.
Yep.
And enjoy lighting some stuff up.
Yes, if you can, legally, looking at my state's stupid laws. Bye, guys.